Hi, this is Mrs. Sarah Johnston in Denver, Colorado, and I'm going to take you through a PowerPoint presentation today of fifth grade poetry and music project. So we'll begin with what do we already know about poetry, accessing some of our background knowledge. We know that poetry is a musical language. We also know that poetry has meter and form, just like music, and some poems rhyme. We've learned that when poetry is expressed well, it may have other qualities such as dynamics or volume, texture, and pitch, also like music. Music must be heard, and therefore poetry can be musical when it's spoken and experienced through the ear. Next, I'm going to cover some of the forms of poetry we'll be studying. Haiku is a form of poetry that is very short. In fact, it's only 3 lines long. They're from Japan and usually suggest a mood or a feeling about nature. They have a precise pattern of 5, 7, 5 syllables. Cherry Blossoms is an example of a basic haiku poem. I'm going to read haiku with some expression and listen to the syllabic pattern. Cherry blossoms float on a crystal blue river, pink dots on water. Did you notice the haiku pattern for this poem? Cherry blossoms float. The first line has 5 syllables. On a crystal blue river, this line has 7 syllables. Pink dots on water has 5 syllables, and thus matches the haiku pattern. Next, we'll study a similar poem to the haiku called a senryu. The senryu has the same syllabic pattern as the haiku, but its topic does not need to be about nature. Here is a senryu poem. The city, New York, hustles, bustles, jostles. No peace, no quiet. I want to stop and point out the descriptive language used in writing these poems. The more descriptive the poem is, and the more expressive the language of the poem is, the easier time a musician will have to create sounds to go with the poem at a later time. Moving on, I'll talk about the third type of poetry we'll be using, which is the tanka. The tanka is a slightly longer Japanese form, but it's patterned very much like a haiku, with the lines in syllabic order of 5, 7, 5, 7, 7. It's basically just an extended haiku with 2 extra lines. The tanka paints a word picture of nature, similar to the haiku and the senryu. Here is a tanka poem about the moon. Mystic was the moon, enigma of night sky, but it was betrayed. Science exposed its secrets and snatched away its magic. Another example of unrhymed poetry is the sijo. The sijo is Korean poetry that is unrhymed and has 6 lines. Each line has 7 or 8 syllables and suggests an element of nature. The sijo is the least restrictive of the poems we have described so far. Oh, Brazilian afuxé, as you spin from my lovely touch and respond from my snapping wrist, I succumb to your rattling spell. With your fascinating sound, you imitate nature's noises. Notice the descriptive language in this poem. It'll be very easy to add instruments, maybe even a fuxé, to this poem. The cinquain is another type of unrhymed poetry that has 5 lines with the syllabic order 2, 4, 6, 8, 2. I sometimes refer to this type of poem as the even poem, since it has an even number of syllables, whereas the other poems had an odd number. Tembo is a Swahili word for elephant. Listen to this cinquain about Tembo. Tembo with flapping ears, slumbers, sways, and trumpets. Mammoth beast of the savannah, Jumbo. The sixth and final form of poetry that you can use in your project is the diamante. The diamante is a perfect poem for those of you who like grammar and know your nouns, verbs, and adjectives. The diamante is a 7-line poem that forms a diamond shape when written on paper. The pattern is Line 1 is a one-word subject noun. Line 2 has two adjectives describing the noun in line 1. Line 3 has three words ending in ing or ed, but not in combination. We sometimes call these words participles. Line 4 in a Diamante poem has four nouns referring to the subject and its opposite, usually half and half. Line 5 has three words ending in ing or ed again, but not in combination. Line 6 is two adjectives usually about the opposite of the noun listed in line 1. And finally, the last line, line 7, is one noun which is the opposite of the first noun. As you can see, a Diamante is very structured. You might want to get a thesaurus out when writing this type of poetry. Here is our Diamante example. Enemy, mean, evil, taunting, teasing, deceiving, foe, opponent, teammate, confidant, loving, caring, sharing, trustworthy, helpful, friend. In the next part of the podcast, I'm going to talk about a sound envelope. What is a sound envelope, anyway? A sound envelope is a period of time in which sound effects can occur. Sounds can happen with speech through use of solos, small groups, or whole group recitation, or with instruments in combination with speech. So at this point, you're probably wondering, so what? What will we have to do to show our understanding of all this poetry and music? Well, here are the steps that I'm going to expect from this project. Number one, you will choose one form of poetry to write on the topic of your choice. Within a small group, you will then read your poem with expression. Three, your group will choose one poem to create a sound envelope. And finally, your group will present the project to the class in the form of a performance. To review, here are the six types of poetry we studied: haiku, senryu, tanka, sijo, cinquain, and Diamante. Remember, your topic can be your choice, and you will only choose one of the forms of poetry to share with your group. When you get to making decisions about the performance of the sound envelopes, here are some things your group may want to consider. Your speech will be very important in conveying the poem. Decide whether your group wants to perform as a whole group, a trio with three people, a duet with two, or a solo person reading the poem. Your instrument possibilities will be limited to the classroom instruments that you find, such as small percussion, mallet percussion, but don't forget about vocal and body sounds and found sounds. I will ask that you don't use recorders, guitars, or keyboards during this project. Remember to think about things like expression, dynamics, tempo, accents, etc. will all add to the expression of your poem. Finally, you'll want to think about the form of your performance. Do you want to begin and end in silence? Have instruments before poetry or vice versa? Or maybe you'll like to have the poem repeated several times. It's up to you. Remember, there are endless possibilities, but the sound must enhance the poem and paint a picture. Be creative and consider adding movement to your performance. Here are some tips on what a good rehearsal looks like and sounds like. Since you will be rehearsing your poem over the course of several days, remember that all group members must be on task in contributing to the rehearsal. It will be noisy in the classroom, but remember that the noise level has to be appropriate for work to be done. Loud, obnoxious banging on instruments will make the experience unpleasant for those involved. Remember to communicate with your group members using appropriate words and gestures. You will probably want to designate someone in the group to be a leader or conductor who can start and stop the group and keep everybody on task during the performance. Finally, at the end of each rehearsal, the group should feel a sense of accomplishment. If something gets done and everyone feels proud, then you know you've had a good rehearsal. Here are some suggestions from some of my former students on what it would look like and sound like when we are sharing our poetry. Thanks for listening, and if you'd like to know more information about this project, you can email me at Sarah, that's spelled S-A-R-A-H, at urbanmusiceducation.org, or you could visit my website to view examples of this project and former students' performances at www.urbanmusiceducation.org. I look forward to hearing your projects and grading your work. Happy music making. Bye-bye.